We wait and we watch. That is really what the season of Advent is about, waiting for the return of the light. Today marks the third Sunday of Advent in the Christian calendar. Each week of Advent, we light a candle. The first was for hope, the second for peace, and today we light a candle for joy. When I was doing my internship as part of my training to become a minister, my supervising minister and I agreed that we would split up the 4 weeks of Advent, each of us preaching on two of the themes, and I said, I can do anything but joy. And I explained how joy was not something that came naturally to me, and I didn't know what I would have to add to the topic of joy. And so, of course, my supervisor said, all right, you're doing joy. And I remembered a time some years before that when I was first thinking about applying to attend seminary. I approached the director of religious education, who was a very strong woman. She had actually served as DRE before and had come back during the interim period to help out. You might notice some similarities to somebody. She was a no-nonsense kind of person. And anyway, so I approached her and I said that I was thinking of applying to seminary, but I didn't have a lot of religious education experience. Could I possibly volunteer in the program? And she said, yes. Why don't you take the time for all ages? In a few weeks, it's Halloween, and I need a story about death. Talking with children about death, preaching about joy, I couldn't quite decide at that moment which was the more daunting task. I was curious about my reticence, my resistance to this topic of joy. What was that about, I wondered. Now, I think it's partly cultural, at least as it was practiced in my family. We Irish Americans don't really do joy. We tend to be drawn to the darker side of things. We love sad stories and songs where everyone ends up dead. The song Danny Boy tells the story of a father whose son is going off to war. He says, please come back, and if when you return I'm dead, please kneel at my grave and say a prayer for me. We sing this song at every occasion. Weddings, funerals, parties, birthdays, anytime. But we do find humor in things, and that certainly brings us joy. Are many of you familiar with the book Angela's Ashes? It was also made into a movie. Frank McCourt shares stories from his very difficult childhood growing up in the 1930s and 40s, mostly in Ireland. Extreme poverty, his father an alcoholic drinking up what little money they had. Horrible things. And as I read the book, I cried and felt so sad. And then a year or two later, I came across the book on tape, and I listened to it read by the author. The same horrible stories, but this time I laughed till I cried to hear him tell those stories with such good humor and the perspective of decades and a sense of his resilience. How we experience events changes, if not the events themselves, then it certainly changes us. In my own family growing up, my father was very serious, very hardworking. He was the first in his family to go to college. And to him, the idea of joy suggested that you weren't working hard enough. You have time for joy? Why don't you go read a book? Joy was seen as frivolous. But here, we have a whole week in Advent dedicated to joy. The Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh tells us to greet each day with a smile. And if you consider how frequently joy is mentioned in both the Hebrew Bible and the Christian New Testament, it certainly seems important. Psalm 126 from the Hebrew Bible, may those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Now, I can understand God promising sheaves of wheat, a good harvest. But here, the seeds and the sheaves are used as a metaphor for sadness being turned into joy. And we all know that Linus has the very best part of the whole Charlie Brown Christmas special when he says, "I can tell you the meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." The season of Advent is a time of preparation for a time of joy, a celebration of the rebirth of hope, of peace, love, joy, the return of the light personified in the Christian story by the birth of a child. What could be more joyful, more wonderful, and available to all, rich or poor? And the pagan holidays that many of us celebrate, like the celebration of Yule today, are available to everyone and were enjoyed by the masses in ancient times, the people who depended on the labor of their own backs and hands. They worked from dawn to dusk every day, all year round, but occasionally they would stop and celebrate. They made room for joy. Joy eases our pain, soothes our worries, gets us over ourselves. It soothes our weariness, and it connects us with others. Now, thinking about this scientifically, joy must have been and must be important for our survival. All beings seek out that which is pleasurable and avoid that which is painful. One of the great miracles, as I see it, is that we need one another. To ease one another's suffering. Of course, we also cause some of that suffering for each other. But imagine if we just wandered around the earth as carbon-based life forms, never interacting, never bumping into one another, never touching, needing nothing from one another. We would not survive. What would be the point? We are hardwired for love and joy. Why is there joy and why does it matter? Of the billions of stars and planets, as far as we know, there is just this one planet Earth, situated in just the right position in the heavens, at just the right orbit around our sun to allow life to emerge. And not just any form of life, but us. Human beings who can love and reason, decide things, build things. And there are dogs and cats and trees and volcanoes and mountains, whales and wind, poetry, painting, dance, music, our own physical abilities and sensations. Miracles all. What possible response could there be to all of this beauty and majesty other than awe, gratitude, and joy? For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. When we forget, when the dark overtakes our weary hearts and spirits and minds, we come to this time of quiet preparation for the birth of a child, symbol of hope, of peace, of love and of joy. And we are restored, reminded of our original blessing, our essential nature to be joyful. And as the character Shug Avery says in The Color Purple, I think God gets kind of ticked off when you walk by The Color Purple in a field and don't notice it. May we all remember to notice the beauty that surrounds us. And may we remember joy. Peace and love to you.